a new head coach and boy genius Mike McDaniel, the fastest cheetah to ever roam the football field, and an actual left tackle? Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up. Before we jump into a fresh episode of Finsider Radio, Jake and Josh want you to please, please, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't yet. Subscribing to the show is the best way to know when Jake and Josh have something cooking in the kitchen. iTunes, Spotify, it doesn't matter. Following helps others find the show, and we want to thank you for that. Now, let's talk some Dolphins. Happy Friday. Welcome in, everyone. This is Finsider Radio, the Jake and Josh show. Thank you all for letting us be part of your Friday and your weekend. I'm Jake Bendel, and we are going to go in on some wide receiver talk and everything that is happening at Miami Dolphins training camp. But before I do that, there's no Jake without Joshua. Joshua, man, how does it feel? You cannot refresh your Twitter feed without getting some news.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? I mean, it's what we, again, joined Twitter for. So I'm super stoked. We should say, I think the Dolphins are actually practicing as we're recording this. So maybe we'll have some news. Hopefully nothing crazy like that Tyreek Hill, you know, breaking news. But I'm just stoked that we can come on here and have, you know, meaningful stuff to talk about. I mean, we had football yesterday, right? I mean, I didn't watch much of it, but football is finally back in our life. So I couldn't be better, Jake. How have you been?
Dude, I went to trivia for the first time in a very long time last night. And the topic was the sun. So obviously team name went Icarus. And there was a question. It was like the third round or whatever it may be. And it was like, which supervillain said the power of the sun in the palm of my hands? And we ended up going with someone from like Despicable Me 2. And like, I was like throwing out names, joking. And like the one I like stuck with was Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man. I think it was Spider-Man 2 back in the Tobey Maguire ones. And so, you know, there were times where we're having a couple of drinks, we're talking a little louder than we should. And, you know, we could pick up that people were like listening and like using our answers. We didn't do well. Like people who listened to us got stuff wrong. But so we hand in Despicable Me 2. And all of a sudden, you know, he's reading out the answers out loud. Dr. Octopus, Dr. Octopus, Dr. Octopus. I'm like, no way. Like, why is everybody listening to me? I'm not that loud. And then he goes, alrighty. So the answer is Dr. Octopus. It blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind that doctor. Why does the octopus need a son? Why? What is the point of that?
So you had the answer all along. You just weren't confident in it.
It was complete BS. I never would have put that as my answer. It was like a joke.
That's incredible. I thought you were going to say that you said Sterling Hoffrichter, the new punter that the Dolphins just signed. Jake, I thought maybe that's who you were going to say the supervillain was. I don't know how much it matters, but the Dolphins waived Tommy Heatherly and they signed a punter today. So I was trying to, you know, do a perfect segue there and completely botched that. But, I have not played trivia in forever, and I would have done absolutely terrible with the sun. But that's hilarious that you had Dr. Octopus. You had it down, and you went with Despicable Me.
And, you know, there was obviously what's Florida's nickname, the Sunshine State, was a good one. But, Josh, you brought up the punter situation. And Hoffrichter, the new punter, was a seventh-round pick by the Atlanta Falcons in 2020. He's not one of those extraordinary, you know, third-round punters that we see once every 40, 50 years, whatever it may be. Josh, I don't think we need to spend too much time on this, but I do remember a couple podcasts ago we wondered if, you know, there was going to be competition for Morstead if he has a secure spot. And this kind of tells me he does, that, you know, the Dolphins are just maybe looking for that practice squad guy, or in case there's an injury, or maybe next year. This kind of tells me that, you know, Heatherly wasn't the guy. And I think Morstead pretty much has it locked up at this point. But I mean, we don't know for sure. That's something that could be thrown right back in my face in about 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, but let's not pretend that Morstead isn't 36 years old. I mean, I think we told the story of how he reached out to the Dolphins. So it goes back to the quote from today from Mike McDaniel. I think he said, you know, too much competition never hurt anyone. So, you know, they didn't see enough from Heatherly. They brought in another punter. I don't think it's going to push Thomas Morstead. Or let's be honest, I don't even know if the Dolphins would keep a punter on the practice squad. Is that something teams would do? That seems crazy to me. But again, more competition, nothing wrong with that. And he does have some experience. Again, like you said, drafted in 2020. Another move the Dolphins made over the last few days. The team cut Adam Butler. Mike McDaniel also, we've talked about this, said, you know, he's not a CBA expert, but some of the terminology in that contract, I guess, almost forced the Dolphins' hand to release him because he did fail physical. So 9-year pro John Jenkins will likely be that fourth lineman, like you said. Benito Jones, the name we got to throw out there. I mean, I have a few tweets with him blowing up the backfield and making some plays. I know he's a player that we've all kind of, you know, rooted for throughout camp. And then you have the big three, Wilkins, Davis, and Sealer. I mean, I don't know your thoughts, Jake, but that is one of the better front three, you know, that tandem right there, that trio right there, you know, gets me excited because they're all big maulers that can do a little bit of everything.
And Josh, I think that's probably the one part of the defense we haven't talked enough about is that interior of the defensive line, man. I think it's going to be bananas. I kind of like the depth of both John Jenkins and Adam Butler, but considering the situation, considering that you do have a riser like Benito Jones, someone who's been around the team for a while, someone who knows this defense, that's really interesting to see, especially, you know, Wilkins had his big breakout year last year. Zach Sealer earning an orange jersey training camp. I think it was number 6. And shout out to Merrick Brave for tracking the orange jerseys for us on the Finsider website. But man, it's kind of a squad here. And something that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, Raekwon Davis, the 30-year pro, second round pick. I mean, we're never going to forget how excited Brian Flores was to see him kind of fall into the lap. I mean, we were kind of hoping for a running back, but I mean, Raekwon Davis has been absolutely awesome since they drafted him. He went out and Josh, I think this was Wednesday, said that he's at the lightest weight since his sophomore season at Alabama. You know, he's cut down on the food. He's not snacking with the kids anymore. So man, you kind of take a step back on that. You got Raekwon Davis, you got Robert Hunt, Austin Jackson, three guys who very noticeably have adjusted their body, you know, lost a lot of weight. How do you feel? You know, I can't really think we're not in a point where we can say, hey, that was a good or a bad thing, but does this kind of feel like that they're buying into that McDaniel system where, you know, hey, for guys like Jackson and Hunt, you need to be a little more athletic for the wide zone. You need to be able to move a little bit more instead of just those big guys who are not ones to be moved around a lot, I guess I should say.
Yeah, 100%. That to me means they're buying in. I wish I had the same kind of willpower Raekwon Davis has. I mean, whenever my kids don't finish their food or something, I'm there picking at it, even if I don't want it. And you can definitely tell, but I do think they're absolutely buying into this, Jake. And Mike McDaniel spoke about that. I think he said they didn't really tell the players they had to cut down to this weight, but they kind of showed the players, you know, if you want to have success in this system, if you want to be the best, you know, pro that you can be, this is what, you know, we've seen in the past. This is what type of athletic traits you need to have, you know, maybe what kind of weight you're at. And I guess another cool thing he said was, you know, you don't want these guys retiring in a few years and saying what if, so why not get in the best shape of your life and, you know, go out there and do the best you can. So I absolutely think they're buying into it, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, because, you know, again, these are a lot of young players, you know, that are going into those year threes, especially on the offensive line. I mean, I think you mentioned Austin Jackson being one of those guys, Robert Hunt. I mean, some of these guys look like, you know, they look like Eddie Lacy almost, you know. I mean, they look like they could be running backs. So definitely excited, definitely stoked for the way they're buying in. And I think, you know, it's going all throughout the roster, Jake, when you look at it, because the receiving core, you know, they're starting to buy into what Wes Welker's doing, and you're starting to see, you know, some of these younger players. You know, I think he spoke to Eric Ezukoma and said, you know, the way I got into this league was every night before I went to bed, I drew up the plays, and he has his receiving room, all those receivers doing that exact same thing.
And that's where, you did it. That was the perfect segue. Beautiful, man. Beautiful. So we're going to jump into some stock up, some stock down based on some training camp notes. Obviously, none of this stuff is the Bible. Don't take it too serious. And it's worth noting, man, I'm just going to run through the first 7 days of training camp, the orange jerseys, because I mean, I think that's been pretty fun to watch. I don't know how much that even means, if it's more of a confidence boost, if it is actually a result of guys playing well. But Alec Ingold, Jalen Waddle, Liam Eichenberg, Javon Holland, Tyreek Hill, Zach Sealer, and Tua Tagovailoa. He was the most recent one as of this recording. So Josh, is there anyone there you want to talk about, or do you just want to kind of jump into the stock up?
I don't think we really need to dive into too many of them. I mean, I love seeing Zach Sealer here. I guess the biggest thing would be a lot of these guys are, you know, two times, you know, we saw Javon Holland win it for the second time. Then Tyreek Hill, I think Tua is also one of those two timers. So, you know, we kind of originally thought maybe this orange jersey was a participation trophy. I mean, now we're starting to see some of these guys, you know, getting it for two times, and you know, maybe eventually we'll see three. So I love this orange jersey. I just hope it translates to us getting those throwbacks, you know, the ones where we all remember Chad Henne hitting Ted Ginn deep with Darrell Revis, you know, trailing in coverage, and those days. I would like to see that orange jersey.
That'd be really cool. And I think that's just kind of the voice
stock
of
up for the orange jersey.
Yes, the first stock up is the orange jersey. And that's kind of our generation, right? That's our like throwback type of thing. We get to say we saw Ted Ginn. How exciting is that? But Josh, the real excitement in training camp the Dolphins, you know, they started with their third round pick. They drafted Channing Tindall, but Eric Ezukoma, man, the fourth round pick, he's emerging as a dark horse with a strong start to training camp. Miami Herald, that was one of their headlines. Go check out that article where McDaniel came out and said, I've been very encouraged with how Ezukoma's handled himself and corrected things. The mistakes are changing. They're not the same ones, and that's what you want. So I'm happy about that. And Josh, that's kind of the point in training camp, right? Everyone kind of freaks out, you know, oh, this guy fumbled or, you know, a drop pass. But I mean, this is the time to do it. This is the time where you're trying to find your rhythm and understand what your job is on the football field. And Ezukoma, man, is really standing out. And it's kind of a little exciting when, you know, you kind of put your eyes on that first round pick, that second round pick, how they can come in and have that instant impact. The Dolphins might find these instant impact players in the fourth, fifth round, which is a little exciting.
Yeah, and they're going to have an impact, you know, sooner than we expected. I mean, we both kind of said, you know, maybe a couple years down the road, you know, Ezukoma is going to be that problem in the slot, maybe take over Cedric Wilson. But it almost sounds like, you know, they're pushing him right now in camp, as crazy as that is. We have to mention his big body, 6'2", kind of reminds you, again, I think we said it, a faster, quicker Devontae Parker, and that was actually one of his comps. The dark horse thing came from Tua's mouth himself. He was talking about Braylon Sanders, who we'll get into in a second, and Eric Ezukoma, and said, I've been very impressed with them. They have very good ball tracking skills. They're long and they're fast. The hardest thing for them is translating plays and where to line up, but they've been impressive. So, I mean, you hear Mike McDaniel talking about him. You hear Tua talking about him. Wes Welker's raved about him. And I went back to that story. You know, he's drawing up the plays before bed. So maybe you can only imagine how quickly, you know, that's helping him, how much he's going to get better. And that was the thing. I liked what I saw on tape. You know, he's a bully with the ball in his hands, can go up there and get those, go up there and get those one-on-one balls. But the thing that I liked most was what he could, you know, potentially become with Wes Welker now teaching him how to be a route runner. So we're starting to see it again. I think he's probably wide receiver 4, right? But the fact that we're even hearing his name up there, you know, from Tua and Mike McDaniel says that he's going out there and balling. So stock up, Eric Ezukoma.
The Jaws music is definitely there. And it goes back to what we were saying during the book club, that this offense isn't going to be like the generic, like, formations you're used to. You got your big, you know, X wide receiver out, you know, you got your speedy guy in the slot. I mean, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, that's your 1-2 punch. Those are going to be your receivers probably most of the time out wide. They're obviously going to try to get guys in the slot. And that's why it was kind of interesting. Like, I thought they'd keep Devontae Parker as that big physical body, you know, on the other side of Mike Gesicki, who can catch balls over the middle. But I mean, they're getting that out of Eric Ezukoma. And I'd be really interested to be in that wide receiver room and wonder how much Mohamed Sanu is kind of helping someone like Ezukoma, because Sanu, you know, he comes in right before training camp, has experience with Mike McDaniel. And hey, man, he is also 6'2".
Yeah, I think, was it the last podcast? One of them, we said how CK Pair dropped a highlight and compared the two. And yeah, man, I think, you know, having Mohamed Sanu there, Trent Sherfield, who, you know, starting to sound like he might even be a lock for this roster, having them help these young guys is definitely getting that offense, you know, instilled a little bit faster. I do have to apologize. I didn't even know you had the quote there from Ezukoma drawing up plays. That's my bad. I didn't even read that. But I'm excited to see what Ezukoma does. And another player, Braylon Sanders. I mean, we talked about him a little bit. I think most of the stuff you see with him is, you know, you're hearing about him making one-handed grabs. You know, there's photos on the Dolphins website, and you go back to college, he's doing the same thing. So this is a player that's definitely kind of sneaking under the radar, or at least was. Now his stock's way up. And I guess the thing I got asked, Jake, do you see him potentially in on the practice squad, or do you see him, you know, beating out some of these other guys? Because I think you had it written down here somewhere, but I mean, I'm a little bit worried about Lynn Bowden, you know, his stock, what could happen here? Because, you know, I lost Isaiah Ford last year. You know, we talk about Preston Williams and how much I like him and Lynn Bowden Jr. I mean, there's honestly a chance, and we'll talk about it later, but I could lose both Preston Williams and Lynn Bowden Jr. this offseason. And dude, that'd be a dagger to my heart.
To me, man, I kind of think Braylon Sanders might be a coach's decision. And obviously they pick everyone who makes the roster. But when it comes to game planning, man, I've really enjoyed listening to Wes Welker talk all training camp. I think he's been a very interesting guy. He had this to say about Braylon Sanders, talking about he had great body control. He has great hands. He has speed, doing a lot of great things out there. He's progressing like Eric Ezukoma. It's never easy as a rookie coming in, especially on offense. So, Josh, both Sanders and Welker went undrafted, and there's a little story out there that Welker was the first one to call Sanders after the draft. It was like right after it ended. Sanders did have the numbers to get drafted in that 6th, 7th round as a shot guy. He has back-to-back seasons with 20 yards per catch at Ole Miss, 30 and 40 yard receptions on Tuesday. Josh, this guy reminds me of Tavon Austin. Could he not be like that gadget guy who you just kind of get the ball in open space and he just goes? Because that's kind of what it feels like. He can be that big, you know, that big play guy who you're not really paying attention to. He's a little bit smaller, but he can kind of go up, get the ball. He can run away from guys. That's how I kind of feel. If he makes the roster, he'd fit into this offense. McDaniel would have to have, you know, 10, 15 plays a game where he's out there and trying to be a mismatch. And sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. But just to have that package out there, I think that's how Braylon Sanders makes the roster.
Yeah, and you mentioned it being a coaching decision. I think that's kind of one of my favorite parts, and also the least favorite part when you know you're trying to project this depth chart is the fact that this coaching staff's coming in here with a clean slate, basically, and they don't have, they don't have the same kind of, I guess, admiration I have for Limbota Jr. and Preston Williams, some of those other guys, and that's good. You know, it's not clouding their judgment. So I love that Wes Welker was the first guy to call him up. I'm going to temper my expectations. I won't jump on this bandwagon because, again, every single, you know, Acorn and these guys that I watch a tape of, get excited for, they're leaving me now. So I won't get too excited about Braylon Sanders for that reason alone, yeah. But he's making those big plays, making those one-handed catches, and I'm here for it. I guess my only concern would be is ideally, I mean, you'd like to plan him on the practice squad, but then a team could just come and poach him off because all it takes is him making one of those one-handed catches or those touchdowns in preseason, and, you know, he's going to be the talk of the town. So stock up for Braylon Sanders. I'm excited to see what he can do. But again, that wide receiver core, man, that thing is loaded, and Dolphins have a lot of tough decisions to make.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, Trill Williams. This is a guy, I think he's been lurking around the Dolphins since that 2019 season. He kind of reminds me of Nick Needham in the sense that he just keeps fighting, right? He had a few splash-worthy plays this offseason, one being an interception in the red zone. And this is what Cedric Wilson had to say about him. He goes, yeah, Trill definitely had a few good days in camp, a big, physical, young player as well. That sounds like the type of cornerback the Miami Dolphins have been working for. Wilson went on to say that he has a high ceiling on his game. And man, these are the type of stories I like to see, because these are the type of players who can come in and have that instant impact. You know, Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, these are guys who have, you know, everybody gets hurt in the NFL. These are guys who it's not easy for them to play 16 games. Trill Williams is another guy. I mean, we're kind of hoping the Noah Igbinoghi, you know, rebound plan works out. But Williams, I think he can come in and be that guy right away if he continues, you know, this trajectory.
Yeah, and he's young, 6'1", 205 pounds. I think there was a video from last year. I was searching some of my Trill Williams tweets, and there was a play made. I don't know if it was in the joint practices with the Bears or if it was in preseason, but he just laid the receiver on his ass. So he's a physical corner. I mean, that kind of goes in line with what we've seen from the Dolphins. And I think it's cool, Jake. I looked it up to make sure I was right. He did go undrafted, was signed with the Saints, and then he was waived 3 days after he was signed on May 17th for failing a physical, and the Dolphins picked him up then on that day. So this was a player the Dolphins had to have their eyes on, you know, for throughout the draft process. Probably a guy they wanted to sign undrafted, but we know how much success, I guess, Brian Flores previously had, you know, building some of these guys up. You throw in what Josh Boyer knows about the secondary, then Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain, who knows, man, but it sounds like Trill Williams making play after play, locking down some of those corners. And, you know, when you're a little bit concerned about Byron Jones, I know Mike McDaniel said he's, you know, on pace, barring any setbacks, to be ready week one. You know, I think, you know, having Trill Williams right there with a Nick Needham, I mean, that's the perfect thing right there. Yeah, perfect player you mentioned, Nick Needham. That's kind of what I see here. And again, Nick Needham's been a vital piece to this defense.
One of the better slot corners in the league. And that just kind of goes to show how great the GM, the front office has been at finding these guys and fitting it to the mold. And it goes back to, you know, the Adam Gase, the Joe Philbin. The Dolphins were always, you know, getting great players, but they might not always have been the same right for the system. You know what I mean? And it just is nice to see everyone on the same page, you know, looking for the same type of players. But Josh, you mentioned him twice already. It just goes to show how much this is tearing at your heartstrings. Let's go to stock down. Preston Williams, he said he wasn't really getting the touches he deserves. And I think I spoke about this last week, but this kind of feels like, man, it's just the odd man out. You know, it's a new coaching staff, a new system, and you just don't get that same guaranteed, whatever, 20% of snaps in training camp that you would have if it was, you know, Brian Flores and that offensive coaching staff that we had a year ago, just because, you know, you got the River Crawcrafts, the Trent Sherfields, who, you know, Mike McDaniel guys who are going to get snaps.
Yeah, and also the tempo. I mean, I think he even said they're playing fast, 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 but that's fewer reps for some of these guys. So I think what's kind of going to separate Preston Williams, obviously, it seems like he's kind of already the man out, but I mean, I don't know if you saw his presser, man, but his attitude, I mean, he just looked like he was defeated and, you know, kind of pouty. And that's not, you know, what we've seen out of any of these guys since Mike McDaniel got here. So I continue to go back to, you know, the Arizona game, thinking about how awesome that was watching him and Tua get that chemistry. You know, he showed so much promise throughout his career here, but it does sound like he's the odd man out, but I can see Preston Williams landing with a team that needs a receiver and making an impact. I don't know if you saw it, but a fantasy Twitter account was saying that Dallas should trade a second round pick for Preston Williams. And everyone was is that a final deal? Like, can we finalize that right here? So it's sad to see Preston Williams go out this way. But again, it goes back to this being a new coaching staff. They have their own players that fit their mold. And, you know, when you got Eric Ezukoma making those plays, you know, you signed Cedric Wilson, that bigger contract. I mean, there just isn't any room for the unicorn. So I'm going to be heartbroken if Preston and Lynn Bowden Jr. both get the axe. But if I had to pick one, I think I would cut the unicorn and keep LBJ around because of his versatility and because I've been hanging on to that unicorn thing for way too long, man.
Yeah, and to go back to that Cardinals game just for a second, Lewis Riddick, ESPN, you know, he said some silly things about the tanking. But one of my favorite quotes from him is that, you know, if you're in the NFL, you can make plays happen, but it's the good ones. The ones that stick around are the ones that can do it consistently. And, you know, Preston Williams has that talent, but is it at a point where he can maintain that for a season? We haven't really saw that. Josh, moving on to another Williams that I'm kind of surprised you put him in the stock down, and I might fight you a little bit on this one. Connor Williams. So, Josh, tell me why you put him in the stock down.
Yeah, well, let me just say it's all based off of what we're we're reading from training camp. But there have been a few bad snaps, some high snaps, some, you know, miscommunication up front. So I was nitpicking. You had him as a stock up. I thought maybe he's closer to a stock down. And I thought, you know, it'd be a good dialogue for us to create to sit here and go back and forth. But Michael Dieter, I do have to throw this out there. He was kind of the guy that I guess I kind of thought would be slated at center when they signed Connor Williams. I didn't think they would transition him over there, but it does sound like he'll be back sooner than later. So I don't know how that shakes things up, but it does sound like Connor Williams is struggling a little bit in camp. But like Mike McDaniel said, you know, if they weren't working on it, then he'd be concerned. But it sounds like, you know, they're going at it, staying extra after practice. And that's what this training camp and preseason's for, right? To get some of those kinks and bruises out of the way.
And I think the only reason I saw him as a stock up, two reasons. There was some bad snaps, some high snaps, but there hasn't been a single fumble. So I think that's like the important thing to differentiate here, that the snaps haven't been like right where they need to be. And when you're playing with the tempo that the Dolphins want to play with, if it's a little off, you know, it kind of makes the play a little wonky. But also, man, not only has there been a fumble, but I think this is the only way you get Liam Eichenberg on the field, right? I think you need a pencil man at that left guard. I don't think he's lining up anywhere on that right side. He didn't do too much over there last season. I mean, Austin Jackson, everyone's kind of liking him so far in training camp, and Rob Hunt, I mean, he's just awesome. So I think, man, this is the two birds or with one stone type of situation where I think you want to get Liam Eichenberg in the lineup, someone you traded up for. I think that'd look kind of bad if he's not part of that lineup, but that'd be kind of an interesting scenario where, you know, do you think Michael Dieter comes back and instantly has that starting center job, or is he out there with the second team when he's healthy?
Yeah, I think at this point he's just a role player. I think, you know, you can now feel a little bit better about the center position, knowing that Dieter has experience snapping the football, you know, and can come in if Connor Williams goes down. But it does sound like this is Connor Williams' job to lose. And one thing that I thought was interesting, Jake, during Mike McDaniel's press conference today, he talked about how Frank Smith, the Dolphins offense coordinator, was Ben Roethlisberger's center in college. That was something I didn't know. And then Mike McDaniel was just raving about how, you know, in his past coaching experiences, he's been able to transition guards to center. So he didn't sound concerned about the high snaps, did not sound concerned about Connor Williams, I guess, you know, having some up and down days. So I think he's definitely going to be solidified there. And at this point, Michael Dieter just hopes to stick right as a backup center, you know, maybe shows that he can play guard or something like that if someone goes down. But yeah, that's Connor Williams' job to lose.
Those are the definitive guys that we're kind of picking up on. And a couple guys we want to talk about, Lynn Bowden Jr. Josh, I wouldn't be too worried about him just yet. I mean, he tweeted out, "I ball," nothing crazier than that. But then I think it was Wes Welker who said, "We're going to come out and we're going to get him more snaps." So how have you been feeling about Lynn Bowden Jr.? Obviously, you want to hear all the praise. You want to see him on the Instagram videos, which hasn't been the case. But I wouldn't even start nailing that coffin anytime soon.
Yeah, I kind of felt, I mean, I was talking about Preston Williams moping. I kind of felt bad because I think it was right the next day that we're talking to Wes Welker and he mentioned Lynn Bowden Jr. needed to get more targets. So, I mean, that had to be just a, you know, a shot to the gut. But you're right. We maybe we should just wait and see what happens throughout camp. But it just, again, seems like Lynn Bowen Jr. is that guy on the outskirts. And after last year, I mean, we still don't even know what really happened there, right? I mean, I thought at the time, we thought that, you know, the Dolphins were stashing Lynn Bowden on the injured reserve throughout the whole season. I mean, I feel bad for him because ever since he's been traded, it's just been an up and down roller coaster. So hoping he
Before Los Angeles was not treating him well. They were diminishing his value.
They drafted him to be what, a running back, been easy and then transition him to a receiver or something like that. So this is a guy that I've been rooting for, and I hope he can find a way to stick on this roster. And then we also added, Cedric Wilson here because it went back to the Ezukoma stuff. I mean, you're not hearing the same, I guess, if no news is good news, maybe, but I don't think that we've heard Cedric Wilson making those big plays in one-on-one coverage like you've heard about Ezukoma, but maybe that's because one's a rookie and one's a veteran and it's kind of to be expected. So thoughts on either of those?
I think you're right on Cedric Wilson, where it's just not as exciting to talk about the experienced veteran. And it goes back to one of my favorite jokes to make about training camp is it the offense playing well or is the defense really bad? And then you can kind of flip that. I just think it's important to talk about Cedric Wilson because if Ezukoma is playing well and he's getting snaps, he's probably he's not going to take him from Jaylen Waddle or Tyreek Hill. That just ain't happening. So I think that's a little interesting point just to kind of keep in mind. But these are two guys. They're really similar. I can't wait to see them both on the field at the same time. You know, just devastating guys in the slot who can use their big body to move the ball down the field. I think I've seen some tweets where, you know, one-on-one, those reps, he's been looking pretty good, but overall, I think he's going to be someone that's worth watching. And I think too, that just because, you know, he might be a little more quiet in training camp doesn't mean, you know, he comes out week two and, you know, 70 yards and a touchdown or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There were definitely videos going around of Cedric Wilson catching pass from Tua. The hardest thing for me, man, is these videos are great, but it's so hard to see what numbers out there. I think there was a video going Ezukoma was getting credit for, and they're saying today it might have been somebody else. So I guess take everything that's tweeted and with a grain of salt. But last thing, I was trying to check because I wanted to make sure we got it on this podcast if we could, and Andrew Van Ginkle's wearing the orange jersey. So I think he's in a contract year. You know, he's starting to kind of, I don't want to say get forgotten about in that, you know, in the defensive line room, but he's one of those guys that we're not talking about as much as, you know, Jalen Phillips and Agba and some of these other guys. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I can only imagine Andrew Van Ginkle's playing like Guns N' Roses or something crazy.
Oh, dude, it's everything from the 80s, you know, some Judas Priest, some Iron Maiden. We're getting all that. And I think a reason for that, man, is just, it's never been too flashy for him, right? I think a fifth round pick, and it's been the slow climb up that ladder. I think he had a blocked punt his rookie year, and it's just been a few plays here and there that's really let him establish himself. He hasn't been consistent, but it's been those peaks and those valleys. They've been really worthwhile for him. And I think, man, this pass rush unit, something the Dolphins have been looking for so long. I mean, even when they had Cameron Wake, everyone else was, you know, terrible in that pass rush unit. So I mean, you think about Agba, Phillips, Melvin Ingram, and Andrew Van Ginkle trying to get that second contract, man. If he continues to make noise, I mean, that's kind of like found money, because I hate to say this, but I was kind of writing him off a little bit as one of those guys. You know, maybe he'd be a starter, maybe he'd play like 60-70% of the snaps, but I didn't really envision, you know, the big plays coming from him. And you know, he's gonna hopefully make me eat my words.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we hope for. I mean, we're all rooting for Andrew Van Ginkle. He's that guy that we've always seen flying around with his long blonde hair in the back. So stoked that he won the orange jersey. And again, in a contract year, hopefully he can elevate his game to the next level. But if he does that, like you said, the Dolphins probably won't be able to pay for that contract. You have written down here, Dolphins are favored by 2.5 points against the Bucs next week. How much do you think they'll get booed?
Oh man, considering the fines, the suspensions that were just handed down, that crowd is going to be rowdy in Tampa Bay, which I think is going to be a little fun to see. I just thought that was an interesting point, especially with the Hall of Fame game going on. We get to see Mark Davis eating some chicken wings. We're a week away, man.
Why?
We are a week away from football.
Why did they have to show him eating chicken wings, though? I mean, there was no reason for that. No one wanted to see that ever, and that was brutal. I got nothing. Got nothing.
I don't know what you mean, man. He is an absolute stud. He is a complete stud. And some housekeeping things. I see the timer ticking us out here. So, Josh, first and foremost, if you, everyone, our listeners who are nice enough to let us be part of their day. If you are enjoying the show, please, please, please hit that subscribe button. And if you send us a screenshot that you're subscribed to the show, we will be giving out a free copy of Madden. We're going to announce that on August 10th. So, you know, all you got to do is send one of us a screenshot. If you're not on Twitter, you can just email me at jmendel31@gmail.com. And if you leave a review on iTunes and you mention our book club, that is two more chances in the drawing. So thank you. Thank you for everyone who's gone and done that. And man, with the season picking up, this feed is getting a little more attention. The Blowhole, another SB Nation Miami Dolphins podcast, is on this feed as well. You're going to get some in your feed from the SB Nation, their national show when they're talking about the Dolphins. But it's pretty easy to differentiate them. So if you're hoping to, you know, log onto this and listen to the Blowhole, obviously it's going to be pretty obvious which one's which. So, you know, we appreciate everyone who's let us be in their feed for so long and will continue to do so.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, because without you, I say it all the time, there is no us. I remember what I wanted to say, Jake. I think I read Tom Brady was out for that Tampa Bay game. And I don't think he was going to play. And then that reminded me that Mike McDaniel was asked today about, you know, the starters. And he said some starters might play, some starters might not play. So very, very vague analysis there. But I don't think we can expect too many of the Dolphins starters to go in that week one game. I do believe it's that week two preseason game that, you know, is kind of the dress rehearsal. But guys, like Jake said, thank you so much for listening to this episode of SB Nation's Finside Radio, the Jake and Josh Show. If you're not following Jake Mendel, go on Twitter at JMENDEL94. Follow me if you'd like at Houts. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Finside Radio. Jake and I will be back next week bringing you the latest from Miami Dolphins training camp. But as always, before that, most importantly, fins up.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. The greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.